couldn't believe the fish that are there in the fish. I think it was scuba diving out there. There's a wreck washing it off the breakwater called the Estes on the
Lake.
I don't want a wreck called the Estes Niagara House. It's miles north and around the Gulf. Thank you. And you don't have to believe me in this. It was a sturgeon. It was a bigger olive and the rest were going to go there. This is all the farmers. Now they, you know, when they do the spear sturgeon, you might get 6 to 8 feet. But I actually saw women here on the wrist of this old animal deal.
All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, I got something here I want to share with you. Some of you got it as an email. Those who don't do an email, you might want to write this down if you're interested and if you got access to a computer. Each year, the Friends of Israel put on a prophecy conference. And I don't know if it's, I suppose it's COVID stuff or whatever. But anyway, they're going to do it virtual. It's going to be online. It didn't give us a lot of notice on this. It's the third already. And this starts this Friday, Saturday, and then it'll be another session on Sunday night. But it's free. And there's going to be 8 different sessions. The whole thing is entitled The Ultimate Ending, and it's going to be looking at the book of Revelation. So if you're interested in prophecy, and these are good guys that are speaking, they'll keep your interest. But you have to register. I don't know if there's all the details. I haven't done that yet myself. Anyway, if you want to think this is something you might want to look at, you want to go to this link. It's www.lookup.foi, that's for Friends of Israel, foi.org. That's okay, so lookup.foi.org. And if you scroll down, it'll tell you the different times when it starts and different sessions, who's speaking. And then, like I said, there's a place in there to register and so on. But otherwise, we used to pay good money going to these things, and they were good. They always had good speakers. So, and they were like the authors who write the books on these different things. So, okay. Free announcement there. Okay. We are looking at the second half of Lesson 7 here tonight, Maintaining Moral Purity. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 1 to 8. So we can find that. First Thessalonians 4, 1 to 8. Okay. All right, let's pray and then we'll start. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We pray that you'll guide us in our study here together. We thank you for your word and the help and protection it provides for us, tells us how we can stay out of trouble, and ultimately be obedient to you at the same time. We thank you for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so a little bit of review. We didn't get too far into this, but if we're going to maintain moral purity, there were 3 things that he was bringing out in this particular passage that we need to do. And he t- talks to them about remember what they have been taught. Remember what you've been taught. Yeah, like I said, you probably heard that from your parents or somebody along the way, or maybe your teachers. You go back in the fall, and it's like this giant eraser went through your head. You forgot everything you knew before that, and they have to start all over again. Remember? And and he was saying, you know, we didn't teach this. This isn't, you know, Paul and Silas's bright ideas. This in itself came from the Lord. And thing is, they were dealing with much the same temptations that we're facing today. You know, we've got electric lights, indoor plumbing, central air and heat and all the rest of that stuff, computers and cameras. But we have the same kind of problems that they had. And one of the things that tended to plague them was sexual immorality. And as we mentioned, it was kind of a tough go for the new Christians because the world they were living in, now I don't know what the tagline was for Thessalonica, you know, but you hear different cities being referred to as, you know, Sin City or whatever. Well, that's kind of where they were living. And there was, you know, the kind of morality that they were led to follow from Scripture was far different than what your average person out on the street would be living like. And so they were to do things differently, to live differently. And it was ultimately for their benefit. God wasn't just trying to take away their fun. It was to preserve them and protect them. So he said the first thing they need to do is to remember what they had been taught. And then he goes on to say the second thing was to refrain from lustful thoughts. You've probably heard the phrase, you are what you eat. I don't know if that's what Weight Watchers, anyway, you hear this from a lot, you know, you are what you eat. If you eat junk food, well, then, you know, that's probably going to be reflective in your life. Well, you could come up with a similar type of little slogan, you are what you think. And, you know, Scripture goes along with that. You know, what's going on in our hearts and minds is reflective in our behavior. And our, you know, lots of times people want to zero in on somebody's sin. You know, they got bad habits. And we want to get rid of the outward bad habits. You know, you got to quit drinking, smoke, chew, do drugs, you know, cussing, all right. Well, you can clean up the outside, but they say it's kind of like cleaning up a pig. It just looks good on the outside. You let pig go, you're going to go right back to the mud. Well, we need cleaned up from the inside out. It's not just if we look good, God lets us into heaven. No, we got to be cleansed. Our sin needs to be cleansed. And so we got to go to the heart of the matter or to the brain matter, if there are some up there. And so we got to deal with the thoughts. And this is something that the Lord wants to help us with. He wants to kind of rein things in. Do you have a comment?
Yeah, I don't remember where it was in Proverbs, but it said, as a man thinks upon his thoughts, there is where his heart lies.
Yeah, I guess. Okay, if I had time here, I'd look that up. You know what the verse is?
Well,
that's close. That's all right. You got a general idea. Yeah, and so it does make a difference. Maybe you're not saying anything. You're not acting it out yet. But if you got this junk going on in your head, it's kind of like this little time bomb. Sooner or later, what you're thinking about is going to be acted out on, you know? And that's why the scary stuff is, you know, they got these, well, we talked about that here the other day, the triple X bookstores or, you know, whatever they call them. people going in there and buying the DVDs or whatever they get nowadays. You know, they're looking at all this junk. Well, after a while, just looking at it, it's not good enough, you know, and then they're out attacking somebody, you know. So the thoughts. And so we need to head it off at the pass. And so God says that we can do this. He says, John 17, 17, this is part of Jesus' prayer. He says, sanctify them. Remember, sanctify, be set apart unto God, okay, away from the world and unto God. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so God's word is going to help sanctify our hearts and minds, okay? But we need to get it inside our brain cavity here. And so we've got to get a handle on the thoughts. And what he was talking about here too is here we are in chapter 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Okay, so he's talking about sexual sins here. This is something we need to stay away from, okay? Not just physically in action, but also our thoughts. We got to stop it before it, you know, it gets into action. And God wants us to be a clean vessel, one that he can use. Verse 4 talks about, every one of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Okay, you know where your weak spots are at. And he says, we need to learn self-control. And he wants us to have a clean vessel. God wants a clean vessel. We've talked about that, you know. If we want going into the kitchen, we don't usually pick out something out of the dirty dish pile. Maybe it hadn't got washed yet. Now we're going to reach up in the cupboard. We want a clean vessel to work with. God wants clean vessels that he can work with too. The thing is, our bodies don't belong to us anymore. They belong to the Lord. They've been bought. They've been purchased with the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And so, and we've seen this. Those of you who've been in Sunday school class, I mean, this is living it out right here. When you go over that line, you partake in these sexual sins, it's a domino effect. There's all kinds of bad stuff that happens. It's not just a quick thrill and forgotten about. No, it has an impact on an awful lot of lives. And so he's saying here, we need to make sure, just because the old line, everybody else is doing it. You know, no, they're not. And even if they were, that doesn't give us license to do that if God's saying no, okay? And as I mentioned here, this was rampant in the area in which they lived, in the society that they lived. And it's out there here, as he mentions here, it's on TV. Radio, smartphones, internet, magazines, movies, everywhere it is, you know. And so, again, because it seems to be widely accepted by the world today, doesn't make it right, you know. The majority is not always right, and I'm not so sure it would even be the majority, but even if it were. And again, God has set some standards here for purity, and they haven't changed. We talked about that here the other day. Some of you are old enough to have seen this in your lifetime, the changes just to take place on television, you know, and I guess I use the same ones, but, you know, Lassie. Oh, you know, Lassie, come home, you know, or Saturday morning, Roy Rogers and Sky King and all these, you know, I mean, anybody can sit down and watch that and you don't have to cover their eyes or anything else. It's, or plug their ears. And look at how far we've went in that 50, 60 years or whatever it is. Well, okay, society's morals or immorality, their view of it, has changed a lot. You know, what's acceptable now wouldn't have been accepted all that many years ago. But God's standard hasn't changed. He's not continually rewriting it to just kind of go keep up with the times. Now, he says there in Scripture, in Hebrews 13, verse 4, he says, the marriage bed is honorable among God's people. The marriage bed is undefiled. Okay? But then it goes on to say, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Okay? Isn't that bad? You got to keep on explaining. Married couples. You can't. Okay. A husband, a man, and a woman. Okay. They're not husbands or wives. It's a husband and a wife, a man and a woman. They're married. It's great. That's what God designed it for. Okay. But outside of that, God says no. Okay, and somebody said, "Wow, I've really messed up. You know, I'm guilty of that. I guess there's no hope for me." Well, folks, this is not the I don't want to make light of it, but it's not the unforgivable sin. Is there any sin that God can't forgive? No. Now He wants us to change. He doesn't want us to just say, Lord, I'm sorry, and then we go out and we keep on doing what we've been doing. You know, he's able to forgive. God is not limited in that way. And the thing is, we can, okay, today's the day. I'm going to stop, you know. And, you know, we can make those choices. I didn't say it necessarily going to be easy, but we can make those choices. You know, it's like anything else. I mean, there's other sins as well. Okay, I could stand up here and say, hello, my name's John. I'm an alcoholic. And then say, I haven't had a drop to drink in 20, 30 years or whatever. Okay. But there's still kind of that, there was a choice to make, you know, and I've seen that happen with my dad. There was a point where he finally said, okay, I'll quit. All right. And he stuck with it. He didn't have AA and all these other things to go to. He didn't have counseling. I'm not saying those are anything wrong with those, but I'm saying he just made the choice. And my dad, you would have liked him, but man, he had an awful lot of bad habits. I mean, he drank, smoked, chewed, cussed. I mean, you know, there wasn't a whole lot he did. But God, one by one, took him away, you know? But again, it was God doing it. It wasn't my mom hounding him. Because if she had, he probably just done it just for honoring us, you know? And the thing is, God doesn't want us to just stop the bad habits. No, He wants us to develop the good ones. I remember one time they were talking about rock music, you know, and you know, talking about, and this is a long time ago, 50 years ago. Anyway, you got to have a record burning. That's back when people had records. You know, we have this big pile. We'll throw all our records on you. You better replace it with something good, or it's like a vacuum. It just sucks right back in, okay? And the thing is, God wants us to replace it with something good. He wants us to seek to live a holy life. Not seeing how close we can get to sin without sinning, but how far away we can stay from it. And again, as we mentioned, our bodies are not our own. We've been bought with a price. Let me just read here a couple verses. And I don't know. The clock keeps marching on here, but 1 Corinthians 7, 1. It makes a difference if you're in 1st or 2nd Corinthians. Let's try 2nd Corinthians. There we go. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So he's saying, let's put away the dirty stuff out of our life and let's work on the holiness in our life. We see other places in Scripture about what we used to be, past tense. Bible talks about people, what they used to be. Some of you were, you know, liar, cheats, what have you. But you're not any longer, because God has brought about a change in your life. We see, again, that we don't belong, we don't own our body, you know, because we get this line, you know, with abortion. Well, it's my body. I get to do whatever I want to do with it. Well, you're a Christian, no, you don't. You know, you may not know it, but it's kind of interesting. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18. First thing he says is flee fornication. Okay, get away from it. Every sin that man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, and that price is the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. What are we doing with them? You know, are we defiling the Holy Spirit's home by the way in which we live? And so, anyway, let's. So it says some people assume that if we're guilty of sexual sins, we can never be forgiven and be morally clean. Well, that's not what the Bible says. He can cleanse any of us, okay? And what's necessary for us, we recognize, okay, I've sinned. Now what do I need to do? Repent. Turn from it, okay? And part of that is admitting it, you know, not glossing it over, not making, you know, calling doctor the name of, just call it what God would call it. But in 1 John 1:9, he says, if, that's a... big clause, if we will confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's no exceptions there. Well, you know, a couple of these, that's a sure about. No, he says he will cleanse us from all. Proverbs 28:13, he says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So God wants us to turn our backs on sin. And again, this has been a grip on your life for a period of time. It's going to be tough. But this is where the Holy Spirit can come in and help us with saying no to lust and what we're, you know, I don't know what it is. It's triggering things, something you read, something you see on TV, DVDs, whatever it is. That we say no to. And God wants us to get to the point with his help to control our bodies, control our thoughts, control our passions. And I mean, God gave us our passions. There's nothing wrong with a passion, but it needs to be directed in the right way towards the right person. And it needs to be towards your husband or your wife. And he says the way to kill sinful desires is to starve them to death. And then in their place, nourish it with holy passions and thoughts. Okay. And Philippians 4:8 give us some insight as to what do we ought to think about? Okay. Now, again, I tend to think in terms of pictures, and I'm sure I've shared this with you, but We don't have an. It's kind of like clicking through the TV. You don't have an awful lot of control over what's on what channel. But you have the choice whether you keep on watching it or you click past it and you look for something else. Same thing in our minds. I look at it as our mind is kind of like a screen. And we don't always have control over what pops up there, but we have a choice whether or not we're going to keep on looking at that, kind of like David looking over the rooftop, you know. He could have went back inside or chose to go read a book or something else, but he didn't. So God says, here, think on these things. Think on what's true and honest and just and pure and holy and good. You know, he gives us some other choices. Now, we have to be the ones to make those choices, though. Okay, so then we got to get to this last point. Okay, so we've seen that we need to remember what we've been taught. We need to refrain from lustful thoughts. And then thirdly, reflect on the consequences. Back here in 1 Thessalonians, everybody else is there but me now. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 4, 6 and 7, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. And so, in verse 8, he therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given us his Holy Spirit. Now, again, sex is God-given. He's given it to us to procreate, have children, as he told Noah and them, you know, go forth and multiply. And also for the pleasure of a married couple. And yet he's not trying to take away our fun. He's not trying to rob us of anything by not running around like animals, okay? But we need to see the consequences. We talk about consequences of other sinful habits, you know, and no matter what it is, people tend to think, let's go out, tie one on, you know. So you get all drunked up, you know, and you forgot all your troubles and everything else. And then you're on your way home and you doze off, cross the lane, wipe out another car full. You got the rest of your life to think about that. You may end up doing it behind bars, you know. I mean, death is not always the result of it, okay, but there are consequences. Just like sexual immorality, it breaks up marriages. Sooner or later, even if you think you're keeping it a secret, somebody else finds out, your husband, your wife finds out, somehow it gets out, and there goes another marriage. You know, breaks up homes, messes up a lot of kids. Again, all we have to do is look at our Sunday school lesson. Look what it did to David's family. Do you think none of the kids knew about David and Bathsheba? Of course they did. Of course, David had several other wives, and they probably weren't real thrilled with Bathsheba either. So they're telling their kids about this. And David had his kids messing with one another. And he ends up with... Okay, so he has an illicit relationship with Bathsheba. The baby dies. Later on, he's got another son that dies. Her husband, Uriah's dead. There's all kinds of dead people out there because of what was going on. I don't think it's in the... Any of you... This has been a long time ago. Any other Clinton Chronicles? He was messing around an awful lot, and there was an awful lot of people that died to keep that quiet, you know? But anyway, that's a whole nother story. But the thing is, there's none of this drawing it down the line, you know, and, you know, here's the positive, here's the negatives. Folks, you can't, not enough positives over here to wipe out all the negatives. It ruins reputations. How about Governor Cuomo about now? Now, I don't know. I don't convict the guy before anything happens, but there usually isn't that many people, you know, that come forward if there isn't some kind of evidence, or even with Biden. You know, makes a difference, though, on whose side it is, whether anybody ever hears about it or not. But the thing is, and here he says, it points out the fact, talking about his brother, usually we're thinking that in terms of a fellow Christian, but here he's saying, this can be any other person. You don't mess with not just your Christian, somebody else's Christian husband or Christian wife. It's, you don't mess with anybody else's wife. Before marriage, premarital sex, or extramarital sex, it robs them, okay? And they may keep that marriage together, but it's probably fragile, you know? And sometimes they stay together till the kids are grown and then they're going or whatever. But, and the thing is, and I'm sitting here as a pastor, they're not exempt either. There's more than one pastor that's ran off with somebody else's wife or his secretary or something. Some of them not hitting on all cylinders either, you know? And one guy, this guy, I remember this guy coming to our college and he spoke. And, you know, he was a, you know, big shot. He was a big preacher and he messed up, ran off with his secretary, and they thought they had him rehabbed, and he later on got another church and did the same thing again. So, I mean, and the thing is, if Satan's going to do his business, where can he do the most damage? If he can take me out, that makes the newspaper. If it happens, not putting anybody down, but if it happens to the church custodian, no news, you know. But, and well, it's like when some of you guys remember when all this stuff was going on TV, the Bakers and the, I can't even remember all these guys' name. Anyway, some of them are still on, you know, and they were trolling around in their limos, you know, looking for some lady, you know, and ruin their reputation. Not only that, but so many people said, these guys are a bunch of fakes or a bunch of hoax, and they're ready to dump their own church and pastor, and they're all a bunch of fakes, you know. I mean, devil was delighted when he gets something like this happens, because he can put a big old black eye, you know, on a Christian. And again, that's what makes the news, you know. And so, we have to be alert to this. There's nobody that's exempt from it. And if we could just pause long enough, you know, because sometimes we come down on kids. They don't think ahead of time. They don't think, where is this going to lead? Well, there's an awful lot of adults that don't think very far down the road either. Where is this going to lead? And like I said with David, he probably never imagined how many people were going to die, and how messed up his own family was going to be and everything else as a result of bad decisions that he made. And none of us are exempt from this. You know, when you think, no problem here. What's God say about that? Take heed lest you fall. About the time you think you don't have, you're above that, you better watch out, okay? So it's kind of like walking out on the ice. You can do that for a while, but sooner or later you're going to end up flat out, you know. And it happens so fast. and there's no recovery. And but again, God does forgive, but he wants us to change. He wants us to be drawn close to him, saying no to the world, no to the world's way of viewing sex and in or out of marriage, you know, beyond marriage. He wants, you know, he's given us a book. And he's told us how the best, this is the best way to live. You're going to be happier doing it this way than anything else you come up with. And we can't improve on God's plan. And again, if we don't, we're going to suffer the consequences. And they last, sometimes it's a lifetime. You know, and this is not apples to apples, but you probably can't see it back here. But I got a scar. It's a couple inches long here. And that was from when I worked at John Deere, and I flipped over a piece of metal, and the corner of that reached out and went, whoosh, you know? Whoa, look it in there. So, okay, they sewed up, it's all better, but there's still consequences, right? And that's just one little thing. But there are also other consequences that sometimes it's in our head. PTSD, all that stuff, that's head stuff, okay? And Satan loves to play head stuff with us. So we have to be careful about what we're putting in there. You know, if, you know how it works. Any of you love chocolate? I'm just going to bite the end off of this little candy bar, you know. And I'll put the rest of it in the fridge, you know, and I'll take another. 2 hours later, it's gone, you know. You know, and yeah, and so Satan knows what to tantalize us with. It's going to be something different for everybody. You know, you may never have been tempted, maybe never will in this area. But there'll be something else that we're tempted at and that we fall for, you know. And we can't hide it from God. We may be able to hide it from other people. Nobody else knows. We keep it out of the newspaper or whatever, off of Facebook. God knows. And that's why he says here, and we'll close with this, Hebrews 14:13. He says, reminder, nothing in creation is hidden from God. He goes on to say, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You know, and one of these days, we're going to have to answer for all that. Let me close with this little story. It's short. It says, after a violent storm one night, a large tree, which over the years had been a stately giant, found lying across the pathway in a park. Nothing but a splintered stump was left. Closer examination showed that it was rotten at the core because of thousands of tiny insects that had eaten away at the heart. The weakness of that tree was not brought down by a sudden storm. It began at the very moment the first insect nested within its bark. And with the Holy Spirit's help, we can be careful to be on our guard. See, it got taken down by all these little bitty bugs. Giant tree. And it falls to the ground. We have one of those in our backyard. Chris came over and saw that. Could put your arms around this thing. You know, but it was rotten at the core. It just fell over on a nice, calm day. And the thing is, that's the way it's not probably some big sins that's going to take us out. It's all the little bitty ones. Well, they talk about death by a thousand cuts. You know, it's not just some big thing. It's lots of little things that we kind of brush off. Oh, it's no big deal. You know, yeah, it is, you know, and it saps us and gets Satan's foot in the door. We better quit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd help us to remember what we talked about here tonight. Remember what we've been taught. And what your scriptures have told us over and over again, that we be careful of the kind of thoughts that we allow to come into our hearts and minds, and things that we spend time daydreaming or thinking about,
Is it leading us towards sin or holiness? We know the right way to go. Help us to make right choices. And help us not to forget about the consequences. There are consequences for our sin. Yes, the Lord forgives us. But unfortunately, people often don't. And we can be labeled for the rest of our lives, maybe because of a bad choice that we made. We pray that you'd help us not to get caught unawares, that we'd be alert and realize the temptations that are out there. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Don't mean to cut our prayer time short.